Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our studies on the book of Genesis. Please turn back to chapter 12. Right, chapter 12. Now, what I want you to do now, because to help you understand the book better, right? You find that, like from chapter 12 onwards, there are words spoken by God to his people, right? Now, one of them is chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now, I want you to read through all these, words spoken by God. Right. Now, I want you to look at chapter 16 as well. Obviously, there are many, but I want you to look at chapter 16 first. Like verse 11 to verse 12 is another one. Chapter 15 as well. Okay, we turn to chapter 15. From verse 1 onwards. Here you can see the conversation between God and Abraham. Right. Turn to chapter. Okay, chapter 25. Yeah? Now there are many. I just give you some example. Right. Chapter 25. Verse 23. Yeah. These are the words spoken by God to who? To Rebecca. Right? Is it Rebecca? Yes, Rebecca. Okay, now, chapter 27. This is the blessing given to who? Verse 27 to 29. It's the blessing given to Jacob, yeah? The blessing of the firstborn. Is it? Okay, now, chapter 27, the same chapter, verse 39 to verse 40, blessing to Esau. Chapter 28, so before Jacob left for his uncle's house, Laban's house, Isaac also blessed him. Chapter 28, verse 3 and verse 4. Now, please read through all these, words from God first. Try to understand them. Try to understand what they mean. Okay? Now, later on, I'll explain to you why we need to understand them properly. Okay? What else? Okay, that's it. Now, come back to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Now, so with faith, Abraham accepted what the Lord has said to him, and so he left his hometown, Haran, and so he went to the land of Canaan. Okay. Now, verse 5. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. You find that at the instruction of the Lord, they follow exactly what the Lord said. Okay, no query, no questions or whatever, just follow. Okay, now. Actually, when you look at this attitude of Abraham, it tells us that our first ancestor fell precisely because they disobeyed God. right? Now, that's why God is going to raise up a generation or a body of people who, you know, not only fear Him, but also obey every command that, you know, He has given to them. Now, so, you find that those who are blessed are those who are obedient to God. In fact, this has been the principle of the Scriptures. Today, if you and I desire to be blessed by God, then you realize that there's no other way apart from being obedient to God. On the contrary, you'll find that disobedience brings about misery, sufferings, you know, pain and whatever, and death eventually. Okay, now, so Abraham must show a great faith in God. Right now, so today, if we say we have faith, how do we know that we have faith? And some people said because they prayed a lot, 3 hours a day. And some people said, you know, they read the Bible every day, maybe 10 chapters a day. Some people said, you know, they come for fellowship on a weekly basis. All these are important, but they may not be a clear indicator of, you know, how much faith you have in God. Okay? Now, so, to show that we have faith require us to follow the commandments of God. That is faith. That is faith. Okay? So, according to Hebrews. That's why Hebrews said, by faith, what Abraham went out. Okay, we look at Hebrews again. Chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and verse 9. Now by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to call out to the place which he would receive as inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, look at verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. Right? Now, the obedience of Abraham is the result of his faith in God. Now, if we trust in God, if we believe in every word that the Lord says, then obviously we can what? We can obey. Right? So obedience will not be a problem. Now, we find that when we are not able to trust in the word of God, obedience becomes very difficult. Right? Simple as that. Okay? It's all about, you know, the person within us, whether we are willing to trust in God or not, to believe in the word of God. Okay, now, you find that here Abraham dwell in a place of strangers. Now, I want you to read chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 6. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Okay? The Canaanites were there already. They were foreigners. They were very aggressive people. You know, think about this, You know, if you were Abraham, you go to a place, right, and then you find that these people were not very friendly, they were very aggressive, you know. What would you do? You go back. Is that also? Yeah? Because the place is not good for you and your children and your family to live in. That's why the Bible said Canaanite were there already. But, you know, the verse we read just now in chapter 11 of Hebrews, Now, we come back to chapter 11, verse 9. Now, why was he able to dwell in the land of promise? the place where Canaanites were. Again, here it says what? By faith. Right? By faith. Now, going out to a place, an unknown place, was already very difficult. You can imagine to live among this, I would say, uncivilized, very unfriendly people. It will complicate the situation. And the Bible says, by faith, he lived in that place. Now, so from here, we can see that, for Abraham to overcome difficulties or problem in life is by his faith. Right? Now, today we have to do the same. Actually, the world is not a very good place to live in, to be honest about it. If we are serious about our faith, then you'll find that the world has practically become uninhabitable. So much sin, so many temptations everywhere. When you walk out of the church, temptation is there. If you're serious about your own faith, your own, spiritual life, right? So you find that Abraham was able to live in the land of Canaan because he had faith in God. Today we survive in this world. Yeah, we keep our spiritual life intact because of our faith in Jesus. Right? We believe in God. We believe in His word. That's why we survive. Okay. Now we come back. Chapter 12. Okay, now there's one thing that he did here, right? So when he entered into the land of Canaan, and if you look at verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendant I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay, build an altar. Now, what does building an altar represent? You build an altar because you want to worship God, you want to sacrifice, you want to bring offerings to come before God. That's the idea, to be close to God, basically. Right? Now, so, again, you find that he did not forget that he had to worship God and he must draw close to God. Now, I want you to look at chapter 13. Now we look at verse 18. Huh? Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Okay. Now, sometimes it's quite important for us to look at certain features in the book of Genesis. Now, chapter 12, verse 7. In between these two accounts of building an altar, something very important happened. Now, therefore we ask, how is it that Abraham was able to survive? Okay. Obviously, we can come to a conclusion that because of his closeness with God. And this, to me, this is like a big test. He was put to the test. Right? Now, he could have lost all the blessing from God had he not been God-fearing. Had he not been close to God. Now, so, you find that sometimes, if he said, building an altar represents our daily spiritual cultivation. Okay. Sometimes we find that if we want to pull through a difficult situation, we must be cultivated. Otherwise, it's very difficult. You understand where I'm coming from? Okay?
Right.
So we come back to chapter 12. Come back to chapter 12 and look at what happened to Abraham, okay? Especially in chapter 13. Okay. Now, chapter 12, 7 and 8 talks about, you know, he continued to move around, and then he did not forget to build an altar to the Lord. Yeah. Okay, you can see this in verse 7 and verse 8. Now, obviously, in between you find that there is an incident where he went down to Egypt. Do you think what Abraham did was correct? Do you think what he did was correct? Do you think the way he treated his wife is... What will happen if today, if you treat your wife in this way? What will happen to you? She'll fire a divorce against you. Yeah. Do you think he was right to do that? Okay, I'm going to read verse 12, verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarah his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Verse 12. Therefore it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live." Now verse 13, "Please say, 'You are my sister,' that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." Now, did Sarai disagree with what Abraham said? Yeah, it's like she accepted, isn't it? She accepted. So if she has accepted, then can the blame be on Abraham? No. Okay? Now on top of that, we need to understand what God has spoken to Abraham. That's why their situation is quite different from ours. Okay? Now I want you to turn back to chapter 12, verse 3. I look at verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." This is like the promise of God, isn't it? And Abraham knew very well that no one could touch him. Okay? But the question remains is, why did he make such a request? Why did he say, you know, to the wife, "Please, you know, say that you are my sister, not my wife"? Why? Why? 你们台湾怎么讲? Why? 没有信心啊? Abraham was a faithless person. But the Bible says he was the father of faith.
But we can use it and older life of Abraham.
Okay. Right. So
the faith, the father of is in terms of his.
Do you not know that he did it twice? Yeah? Two times. Yeah? It's like he has never learned from his failure. Okay, Christian. Christian.
humility. Even he was humble. Okay. What do you think? Do you think Abraham was good? Do you think he treated his wife fairly? What do you think? No? No? Bad guy. What about U.S.? What do the preachers say about this in the U.S.? Was Abraham a good man? He was a good man. But how do you account for this? How do you explain this? How do you explain this? I mean, if that's the case, then he should have told the people, you know, the truth that he is the husband of Sarah. What is it? Yes.
Okay.
Theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he lied anyway. But it's just that he didn't want to tell everything, like, you know, his true identity to the people. That's it. I don't think he was lying anyway. So, you know, I ask you this question because I understand, right? Like, different preachers have different ideas. Okay, it's like, you know, some preachers say, you know, because Abraham was faithless. But to me, I don't think he was faithless. Because he asked the wife agreed. Because it's like, you know, at that moment in time, that is the only way out, isn't it? And famine, and now you have to go to a place to survive. And at the same time, he was facing danger as well. Okay? I think that the son did the same, isn't it? Isaac. Is it not? Huh? Inherited from the father. So to me, it's not like, you know, something very evil, you know, especially in the context of people in those days. I don't think it's wicked. I think it's, you know, it's just like trying to find a way out because God did not speak to them at that time. Not what I know of, okay? I have not heard about it. Yes.
So then could you say that if Abraham said that Sarah was his wife, would anything have happened to him?
People would kill him for the wife.
So that would mean that if he did say that he was his wife, then he wouldn't have been following.
No. Okay, read what? Read verse 11 and verse 12 again. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say this is his wife and they will kill me, but they will let you live. You know, it's like they were in a desperate situation because of famine. Yeah? So, if you look at verse 10, the famine was very severe in the land. Okay? And so, Abraham and the wife had to go to a place, yeah, to what? To find food or to find water. So they decided to go down to Egypt. Huh? And, you know, while going down to Egypt, they also realized they are facing a huge challenge, that his people could kill him for the wife. Huh? So that's why, in order to avoid that from happening, so he suggested to the wife, he came up with an idea, and the wife accepted. Is okay. Right, now we move on. Happy. So Abraham was not a bad guy, yeah? Don't say Abraham was faithless, bad guy. Well, it's difficult. Okay. Now we come to chapter 13 now. Chapter 13. Here we find that God actually blessed the family so much, yeah? So much. Verse 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. Now, verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. Okay, now, you find that God blessed them so much, that to a point that even the land cannot contain their wealth. Too much, yeah? Too much. Now, and for that reason, and because of that, strife, you know, arose between what? The servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 7, yeah? And here again it says, the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwell in the land. Now, to refresh your memory, back to chapter 12, verse 6, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Now, I wonder, yeah, why does the Bible repeat this fact? Anyone? Why does the Bible repeat this fact? Why does the Bible repeat this fact? Canaanite were in the land. What? Okay. Now I think the lesson is this, huh? You can imagine there were foreigners. They moved into the land of Canaan. And you find that God blessed them so much, the entire land was filled with their possession. Okay? Now you can imagine if both of them ended up fighting against one another, what will happen? The Canaanite would come and attack them.
it would come to attack him. Yeah? Now, so you find that, yeah? Sometimes you find that, you know, within your own family or within the church, the community of faith, right? So we always hear about misunderstanding, you know, fighting, or in-church fighting, or whatever. Now, who will be benefited?
Represent what? Our enemies, isn't it? Obviously, in our context, it's Satan. Yeah? Okay. Now, the lesson is very clear. If Abraham and Lot end up fighting against one another, then who will be benefited? These people will be. Okay? They would come in and kill them and you know, would take their possession. Now, the spiritual lesson here is this. God has given us so much, okay, blessing from above, according to Ephesians 1:3, all the heavenly blessing. Okay, oh, God has not, you know, has not kept back any blessing. Any blessing from God has given us. Now, if you see in church fighting, what will happen? This guy here will come in. And who will suffer? The people within. Right?
You know, that's why it is important for us to learn from Abraham. You know, in the church or even in our family. Okay, in order to avoid conflict, sometimes we have to, you know, sacrifice ourselves. Even if it means that we have to lose a lot of stuff. Okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah, for the sake of the church. Yeah, for the well-being of our family. And we are willing to give in. Give in. Okay? So if we fight, then who will take advantage of us? Satan. The Canaanites. Okay, now we look at verse 8. Yeah? Chapter 13, verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my husband and your husband, for we are brethren." And here it tells us about the wisdom of what? Of Abraham. Okay, what he saw at that point in time is what is peace, yeah, is what is family ties, right, and is brotherhood or brotherliness. You understand what I'm saying? But he valued all this stuff so much more than the physical possession. Okay, now, this is the wisdom of Abraham. And also, you know, it showed that he is a God-fearing person. I want to show you a verse. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Okay, where is it? Chapter 17. There are quite a few. Just look at one or two. Okay, 17 verse 1. Now, better is a dry morsel with quietness, yet than a house full of feasting with strife. Okay? Now, here it tells us about our value concept. Now, what do we emphasize on?
Two sets of values here, okay? One is a dry morsel, a dry biscuit or whatever.
bring about quietness.
And the other one is feasting.
Bring about.
Now for us, as human beings, we always look at what is tangible, what is physical. If you are given a choice to choose, which one would you choose?
You go for this. Right? Is that so?
But you will not think about the implication. What will
happen later on in life? Okay?
Now, but you, when you look at Abraham, he looked beyond what?
Looked beyond the wealth. Or riches.
What he saw is what?
Well, there's peace. He's a man of maturity.
You know, that's why in the church, we need to know this very well. Okay? The church is the house of God, and it has to be ruled by the
peace of God.
Okay, even you have been taken away from having this, right? And you are given this.
It doesn't matter as long as there is one.
It is cultivation. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So it tells us about our value concept. Sometimes it seems that, you know, physical things appear to be more important than spiritual virtues. That's the problem we have today in many of our churches. Is that not true? Right. Now let's look at another example. Proverbs.
What's the time?
No, not yet. Chapter 15. So you look at verse 17. Yeah? Now here is
it's another example, but the meaning, okay, the essence is identical to the one we have. Okay.
Verse 17, a dinner of herbs. What is a dinner of herbs?
Vegetables. Right? Herbs. A dinner of herbs. Are you thinking about what? Look. Well, look this.
Okay. And
fatted cup.
I was talking about fatted cup. You said lobsters.
Japanese people like lobsters.
Hi, Joyce. Okay.
Okay.
With hatred. Now again, you find that people always look at what is tangible, what is physical. Right? So if I tell you, class, you have to eat vegetables for 3 weeks.
Without meat. You get what I'm saying? You sure you want to? You can do it. I don't believe you.
Okay. Now, the point I'm making is this, yeah? You must look beyond the surface value.
Right? Look at the implication.
Right? What will you get out from this,
for example?
If you have a dinner of herbs, and from there you can find love or you can show love, it is better to choose this than this. Does this bring about strife? And you find that Abraham has this mature concept about life. Right, that's why he is a blessing to us. It's a real blessing. Okay?
Right. We pray.